Hello, this is my Lenten diary for March the 3rd, 2022. Today is the Thursday after Ash Wednesday. This is a reading from the 61st chapter of Isaiah, verses 1 through 3a. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me. He has sent me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and release to the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to provide for those who mourn in Zion, to give them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. I've chosen this passage to be the passage to reflect upon before we begin our journey through the Gospel of Luke tomorrow. For those of you who follow along with such things as Holy Scripture and are familiar with the Gospel of Luke, you will immediately recognize the first few lines of this passage from Isaiah as the lines that Luke says in chapter 4 of his Gospel that Jesus read in his hometown synagogue in Nazareth. I've chosen this passage because I want this passage from Isaiah to be a lens through which we read and hear Luke's Gospel this Lenten season. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me, sent me, commissioned me, the prophet says, to do some things on God's behalf, to bring good news to the oppressed, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, release to prisoners, proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. All of those are things that Jesus says he's about, because when he reads this passage in his hometown synagogue, after a dramatic pause, he says to the congregation assembled, "Today, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing." And so Luke undertakes to show in his gospel how Jesus demonstrates this prophetic fulfillment. But before we get there, I want us to consider the line, the relationship between this prophetic voice of Isaiah and the prophetic actions of Jesus, keeping in mind that prophecy is not about so much foretelling the future as it is giving a witness to God and to God's way of being in current circumstances. And so the prophet is actually saying in Isaiah, this is what I'm about: bringing good news, binding up the brokenhearted, proclaiming liberty. And Jesus, centuries later, says, this is what I'm about too. And I would suggest that as the body and blood of Christ in the world, these are the very things that the church is about, or at least should be. And here's what you will notice as you listen to these words and reflect upon this way of being in the world, is that it's all outward focused. To proclaim, to bind up, to provide comfort, all of those activities are outward facing. One of the things that I've been a little concerned about as we hopefully are making our way toward a different stage in the pandemic is that with our grief over not being able to gather as the church in worshiping fashion or in fellowship or in Bible study, all of the kinds of things and activities that we take, that before 2020 we took for granted that we're a part of the church. One of the things I'm concerned about is that we will get back to gathering, and that gathering will become an end in itself. We already, as Americans, live in a world where religion has been privatized to the extent that people will hardly mention their relationship with God or their moral convictions because they're Christians. They will hardly mention that to anyone for fear of offending others' sensibilities. But our religion has never been a private one. It's never been based in my own individual relationship with God. To be sure, our individual relationship with God is important, but it is not an end in itself. Worship is not an end in itself. Fellowship is not an end in itself. Study is not an end in itself. All of these things, worship, fellowship, study, service, all of these things are ways in which we give voice to our faith and are ways in which we are strengthened to do this work in the world. The good news that Jesus proclaimed, the year of the Lord's favor that the prophet proclaimed, they were words that were said out loud to other people. And as such, there was a risk involved. There was the risk that people would reject the prophet, which they did, and that people would reject Jesus, which they did, and that people will reject us, which they will. If we're not being challenged by the world around us, if they are not actively criticizing us for our faith, it could be because we've never given expression to a sort of faith that would challenge the world. To do these works as the church, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty, to really be about liberation, to talk about God's judgment, to say those things out loud outside of church, does run the risk of incurring people's anger. And yet, I can't see any other way we can be as Christians. A Christian that is simply always behind closed doors, be it our homes or be it our churches. If we're simply going about our business as God's secret agents in the world, I'm not sure we're living fully into the life of Christ. And so my prayer for us as we make this journey through the Gospel of Luke and we make this journey through Lent is that we will have our routines challenged. We will have our preconceptions challenged. We will become open to the movement of the Spirit in our hearts for ways in which we can get out of ourselves and take the risk of proclaiming God's good news in the world, in word and deed, that we will take the risk of binding up the brokenhearted and proclaiming release to those imprisoned in all sorts and conditions. My prayer is that as we begin to get to this next chapter in the pandemic, we will not use it as an excuse to further isolate ourselves from the world, but as we regather, that we will be open to the ways in which the Spirit is leading us to be Christ's body and blood in the world. to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. What a challenge. What a gift. What an opportunity. Let us pray. Direct us, O Lord, in all our doings with your most gracious favor, and further us with your continual help, that in all our works begun, continued, and ended in you, we may glorify your holy name, and finally, by your mercy, obtain everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.